You're listening to the Ranch Church Podcast. For more information and service times, go to ranchchurch.com.
I hope you enjoyed going to church just like I went with Lindsay and Casey. It's a fantastic experience, and I hope right where you're at in your home, you enjoyed it as much as I did. Listen, my friends, why don't you get your Bibles out right now. Go with me to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to continue on this series that we're talking about, 10 rules for being like Jesus. And I want to walk you through the next part of what is called the Beatitudes as we follow Jesus' teaching, the very beginning of his ministry as he would teach and instruct us in his gospel and what it means to have Jesus Christ inside us. And last week, I want you to go. It's posted right here on the YouTube channel if you want. You can go visit last week's message if you missed it about submitting to God and needing God, and submitting to God. That was rule number one. Rule number two this morning is moving brokenness forward. And I love the days in which we have the opportunity now. When you think about where we're at, there are many people who are scared. Listen, let me just tell you something about where we're at right now. You can choose to have godly courage or you can choose to have fear. I believe that right now, though these circumstances are very intriguing, I believe right now these are actually days of opportunity. I believe these are days of the spirit and not of the flesh. And I believe God is calling you into that new space with him to be of the spirit and not of the flesh. Many people, whether it's in this current circumstance or just life, really just life, experience pain. So we're going to look at today this verse, which talks about that you can mourn and ultimately be comforted. And Jesus is going to call it a blessing. He's going to call it all a blessing. And you can choose to see pain through the eyes of Jesus Christ, through the truth of the gospel or not, which is why I want you to have this following phrase. I want you to internalize this. I want you to think about it because it is literally, literally true. I've lived long enough and I can tell you as your pastor, as your friend, and as your brother, this truth is true in Jesus Christ. Pain is a gift. Pain is a gift. It's not the only gift that there is in life that Jesus Christ has for us, but it is one of the gifts that he has for us. And as Jesus comes in this verse and says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted," that is true, as Jesus Christ makes it true. And pain, my friends, is a gift. Pain removes from your life and my life, when we allow it in Christ, pain removes false gods. We have false gods, we have false authorities, we have false things that we listen to, and pain exposes that falsehood and begins to remove it from us. Pain removes fake ways of thinking that are really not of God, not of Christ, that they're just something pithy or some spin from a guru. Jesus Christ is not a guru. Jesus Christ rose on the third day according to the scriptures, and he is resurrected from the dead. And that resurrection power lives inside of his people. And it's radically, radically different than any other teaching out there. And so you can trust God. You can trust God in your pain. You can trust God in your pain, and open doors will come to you. And so you have to see that these are days of, well, we'll just call it intrigue. It's very interesting. I absolutely don't know all that's going to take place, but I know who does, and I know who's going to carry us forward. And you can choose to be afraid, or you can choose to see that these are days, a fantastic opportunity to actually walk with God and to trust him. So 10 rules for being like Jesus, move brokenness forward. I'm going to actually read this verse from the scriptures out loud with you, which simply says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Excuse me, I'm off one. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. We're going to talk about moving forward in spite of brokenness. So the Beatitudes, I've outlined them along a 10-part series of understanding the Beatitudes in a new way, that there's actually a blessing to all the things that Jesus is talking about, and that the Beatitudes themselves describe the life of Jesus Christ and how they can come and how he can come into our lives. I'm going to give you a cross reference right now. If you want, you can go in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to read this verse or two a little slower because I want you to see the power of it. I want you to see the weight of it, the beauty of it, the glory of it. I'm going to be reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm going to pick it up in verse 16. And I love how the scripture here starts to say, but when one turns to the Lord. So let's pause there just for a moment because that's what we're talking about. But when one turns to the Lord, the Apostle Paul here is writing about when a person turns their life over to Jesus Christ and the different things that take place. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Oh, I mean, I just want to talk for hours about how that veil is removed and what it looks like and the mystery of it all and the power of it. Because without Jesus Christ, the words of these books, they are as if you have blinders on. There's kind of a veil. Exercising faith, being born again, things we'll talk about in a few moments, coming to what we call a saving knowledge of Jesus, knowing him personally, removes actually that veil. And it's the most spectacular thing you could ever imagine. You see God with a whole new lens. You see life with a whole new paradigm. You experience things that maybe in the humanity of your life you've experienced to some degree, but now in the supernatural, I mean, it's just almost beyond description. And so Paul here is talking about, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, oh, that word, can you say it with me? Freedom. I love that. I love that. I love that word, freedom. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all with unveiled face, now that veil is off of us, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. So into the same image means being transformed in the same image of Jesus Christ. So one of the purposes of why God wants to bring you into a saving knowledge of him is just this verse right here, that you would be changed. And not just changed, but experience a supernatural transformation that begins to implant inside of you, like really, really inside of you, the very reality of Jesus Christ, the realness of a relationship with God, not just some lip moment where you kind of say, yeah, I guess I kind of know God. No. It's of a greater depth, it's of a greater weight, it's of a serious truth, it's of a richness, it's of a blessing. And so he says here in the scriptures, you're being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And that is because we were born to bear the image of God. That is the teaching of Genesis. The very basic teaching of Genesis is that we are God's image makers, image bearers, excuse me. And so he made us into his image. Jesus Christ actually restores that very image back to us. And so that is the process of being transformed, or being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So one way I like to think about this, and I want you to consider this as we now make our way back to the teaching here in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 4 here, as we talk this thing through, is that Jesus's DNA can now grow inside you. You know what DNA is, and I'm not even going to try and pronounce the actual name of it, but you know what DNA is, and Jesus's DNA can now grow inside you. And that is the point of what's being talked about here. Jesus starts his teaching by saying, blessed. That is the word in the original language, makarios. And makarios is this deep word related to happiness, related to contentment. And it's the idea that it transfers from God to a human being. It's the idea that it could transfer. So, for example, I'm sure you, like me, have been around people that are happy in a moment of time, and you've been sad in that moment. And so maybe you are ministered to by their happiness, or maybe not. Maybe it's temporary, and vice versa. Sometimes you can be stoked. I know this happens to me more than once. I'm totally stoked. I'm walking in a room. Somebody puts their negativity on me. Man, I got to work hard to just get that off of me and continue on with my Jesus stoke factor so I can live the life that God wants for me. And so in an ultimate way, in a powerful way, makarios means that the very contentment and power of Jesus Christ can actually reside inside you. I'm going to give you the literal meaning of that word. The literal meaning of the word of makrios means freedom from concern or worry. And I love that. Freedom from concern or worry. It's not irresponsibility. So we're not all trying to go back and be hippies from the 70s or 80s or even now. We're not trying to be dropouts in that sense. It's not irresponsibility. It's the idea of being free from concern or worries as you're staring at reality. The other phrases I want you to have from this word makrios, which in your Bible there in Matthew chapter 5, blessed, 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 as he says those, that word blessed means God's strong happiness. God's strong happiness, not a weak happiness. God's strong joy. Strong joy. It can overcome. And so it becomes something vibrant inside you. So Jesus is now gone up to this mountaintop, just above the Sea of Galilee. He has gathered an untold amount of people in front of him. He is now teaching them the word of God. He is now the fulfillment of the law of God. He's the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And he now starts out this language, very interesting way of saying, blessed and blessed and blessed. And some of the things he says, you and I easily go, well, that's great. And other things that he says, we go, wait, you got to explain that a little bit more, which he will in time. And in this one, it's one of those where he says, listen, blessed are you who mourn, for you shall be comforted. There is actual comfort that can come to you who are sad or who are actually suffering in life. When we mourn, we'll be comforted. And overcoming serious pain, listen, friend, I want you to understand this because we're talking about reality here. Overcoming serious pain, overcoming serious loss, well, that is a bit of a process. You're going to begin to walk that out, and you're going to be taking it one step at a time. And no one's talking in callous manner here, let alone the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows pain. This is partly why the cross is so important. He knows pain. He understands pain. He understands rejection. He understands loss. He understands all of those things, and he's overcome all of them. And so overcoming serious pain is a process. But I'm here to tell you that in Jesus Christ, the journey is worth it. Oh, the journey is absolutely, absolutely worth it. And Jesus is calling out the person who makes pain their God. In Jesus' day, just like even now, and I see this a lot, there are people out there because they've been so hurt, because they've been so broken. And if I were to hear the stories and tell them to you, you would be brokenhearted. And if you were to hear them in your own personal life, you would be brokenhearted. But the truth is, we all continue to have a series of faith choices where in our pain, does our pain become our God or does Jesus Christ become our God? And Jesus Christ is teaching us here how to walk that out and how to actually experience the life that he has, even as we have these sorrows. Jesus says, makrios to pain and suffering. And he says, God's strong happiness and strong joy can actually be yours in him. I'm going to give you a verse now, actually two verses by way of cross-reference that I want you to understand. One, I'm going to literally read to you. It's out of Job chapter 5, verse 11. Job chapter 5, by way of reference, says this, he sets on high those who are lowly. I want you to think about that phrase. Job, famously Job, experienced a lot of negativity, a lot of setbacks. God really put him to the test as he has few others. And the scripture here says, it's meaning God, sets on high those who are lowly. And those who mourn are lifted to safety. Those who mourn are lifted to safety. God has not forgot about you. He's not forgot about me. He hasn't forgotten about your family, your business, anything going on in your life, in your personal life. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. He knows everything about you. He's not forgotten about you. He is actually lifting you who are lowly. And if you're mourning, he's bringing you to that place of safety. Second cross-reference I want you to have right here, which I'll do this kind of quick. This is Isaiah chapter 61. And Isaiah chapter 61 gives us this amazing teaching from Isaiah, hundreds of years before Jesus Christ would come on the scene, about Jesus Christ. He's going to say, what is Jesus Christ going to do when Jesus Christ is here? And so when Jesus Christ arrives, Isaiah chapter 61 says, he has this wonderful, wonderful promise, this gorgeous line. He says, listen, are you suffering? Are you hurting? Have you been cast down? Well, then come to Jesus, the prophet Isaiah is saying, and he will take your ashes and he will make something beautiful. It's a switch of beauty for ashes. beauty for ashes. We give God our ashes, these broken places of our life, these failures of our life, maybe these things that have happened to us by which we had no control over. We give him these ashes, and then he gives us this beauty. And so what I want you to see from these texts here throughout the Bible, from Job chapter 5 and from Isaiah chapter 61, is that the Bible consistently talks about this, though Jesus is the fulfillment of it. So now I'm going to walk you through. We're going to put some muscle on this. How does this happen? How do you move forward in your brokenness? How do you move forward in your brokenness? So point number one that I want you to take note of, Jesus is talking about here, the phrase I want to give you is cross the line. Cross the line. And Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, and Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 has a very interesting teaching where the scripture is going to say two things and kind of put them next to one another to help us understand what it means to cross the line. And so in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, we are told to put to death. Put to death. Put to death what? You know, the Apostle Paul as a rabbi is famous for these long lists that he has. And the long list there in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 is all the things of carnality, all the things of sinfulness, all the things of wickedness, all the nasty things in life. It's just a long list. And he says, listen, put that all to death through the cross of Jesus Christ. And then five verses later in Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, the Apostle Paul is going to say, put on. And he's going to say, put on all the glorious things and the beautiful things and the wonderful things of Jesus Christ. And so you cross the line. So listen, friend, here's how you begin to move brokenness forward. Here's how you begin to move forward in that brokenness. You cross the line. You understand that there are some issues in your life that are only solved through faith, and you cross the line. You cross over. You know to whom you belong. You know to where you're going to be. One way of thinking of this, and I realize as I say this, every illustration breaks down at some point, but allow me to share this one thought with you, and I pray that it's helpful to you. In high school, I went to two schools. My freshman year, I went to one high school, and that was St. Bernard's, a Catholic school right next to LAX. Our high school was actually on the 747 runway. It was right adjacent to it. So you could imagine what some of that experience was like. And then the last 3 years of my high school, I went to a wonderful school right next to Redondo Beach called Bishop Montgomery High School. So I went to two Catholic schools during my high school times. Now, the first school, the colors of that school were blue and kind of a yellow gold. And then the second school, Bishop, was black and gold. And so when I went out to play ball, especially once I transferred and I was with Bishop Montgomery High School and we wore black and gold, I would never go on a field to play athletically, to compete and wear my Viking uniforms. I would never do that. Why would I do that? I would never do that. I've actually changed teams. And in that sense, I've changed loyalties and allegiances. And so in the same way, when we talk about moving brokenness forward, we're not wearing the clothing of the flesh. And we're not wearing the deeds of the past. We're actually putting on new clothing and our robes of Jesus Christ. So we have to cross the line. Secondly, that I want you to think about related to is walk the line, as kind of walk the line. And one way I want you to think about this is, so walk the line, I'm stealing a line from a famous Johnny Cash song, which is actually Walk the Line. Now, here's why I bring it up. Because the Walk the Line song, when you really get into the history of it and you understand him, actually just speaks to what we're talking about here. Johnny Cash wrote this song, Walk the Line, which he became famous for, as a love song to his wife. You know what wife that was? That was his first wife. And so he writes a song, he sings a song, he becomes famous, and then that actually becomes known for his love interest and then second wife, June Carter. Here's the thing. You and I will do such things. In our pain and our brokenness, we will consider strongly, hey, listen, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this. And so Johnny Cash, in that sense, writes a song of fidelity to his wife, and he stumbles and falls. In fact, he would struggle for many, many years until he would actually find the cross. And so none of the things that we're talking about here are at all the kind of things that we can do on our own strength. We're actually going to trust God by supernatural power. I cannot look you in the eye and say that I'm walking the line of my own power. I cannot look you in the eye and say I'm walking the line by my own strength. Not at all. In fact, one of the turning points in my own personal life was when I realized I was a hypocrite. And Jesus Christ came to me and asked me to confess hypocrisy. And I got on my knees and I got on my face before God. I said, God, I'll always be a hypocrite unless you come in and change me. And God would come in and dramatically change me. And so none of this is done by the flesh, only what the Spirit can deliver. I love how Peter is actually talking about putting to death. And he says, so put aside and put away. And he has a list. He says, malice and deceit. And then he even mentions hypocrisy and envy and slander. Put all of those things away as we decide and choose by faith to walk with Jesus Christ. Now, third, that I want us to consider about how to move forward in brokenness, and I'm going to camp here for a few moments as we talk about how do we get through this morning and how do we move forward. Third thing I want us to consider is become the good soil. And this is Jesus' teaching found in Matthew chapter 13, that we can actually become the good soil. And Jesus would teach that there were actually several different kinds of soils, and they had different kinds of significance. So, for example, first kind of soil that he's, again, I'm cross-referencing Matthew chapter 13, there's the soil along the path. The second soil is that there's a soil along a rocky terrain, a rocky soil. And the third is this thorny soil. And the fourth is what we would call the good soil. So you got it. We got the path, the rocks, the thorns, and then the good soil. All right. So now listen, on the path, Jesus would, fortunately for us in Matthew 13, he would go on to explain what this means. So for example, the seed is the word of God from the kingdom of God. And we are being asked to trust God to become this good soil. He's not the good soil. We can become the good soil as he plants his seed of life in us. So the path, what's the problem with the path? Well, it has some degree of shallowness. And so the evil one snatches it away and takes it from the person's heart. And this is the person who is kind of a yeah, yeah, yeah. They hear a little bit of the word of God. They hear some of these teachings and they go off and live their own life. Then next, the rocky soil. Well, it springs up quickly. It actually has some degree of nutrients in it, but it has no root, Jesus says. And so when times get tough, they just fall away. And we see that with the person who will claim to know Christ and know God and want to go to church, and yet when the going gets tough, they seem to fall away. And then the thorny soil, those who are people who are actually understanding the things of Scripture, but really in their hearts, they become so successful and often rich that the deceitfulness of riches have actually taken things from their heart. And then the good soil are those who reproduce wonderfully in the kingdom of God, 30, 60, and 100 fold. Now, one way to help you maybe illustrate this is that, let me take out my phone right here, and I'm not gonna turn it on, but I don't know about you, but I sometimes travel from time to time a decent bit. And when I travel, it's really fascinating what happens when we land. So recently, right when this coronavirus was going on and just started going on, I actually had to take a couple of trips. And so it was really fascinating. We land on the ground and everybody opens their phone. And then they're just frantically tapping on it, trying to get a signal. And everyone's turning to everyone else asking, did you get a connection? Did you get a connection? Did you get a connection? They're trying to see who has a connection and what kind of connection they have. And they're rather frantic about it. So the first thing I want you to understand related to the soil on the path that Jesus is talking about there in Matthew 13 is the soil that has no connection. In reality, it has no connections. And in the same way that you can turn on your phone and it has data from a previous moment, in truth, it has no connection. And so the path soil has no connection. The rocky soil has a bad or loose connection. It's not really working and it's not really going to work. And then the third soil, the thorny soil, has a false or inconsistent connection. And now the fourth one has the true and strong connection. So I want you to think of those soils, since we're sometimes away from ag understandings, and think of them in the context of your phone, when you have a connection and when you don't. Listen, friends, Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Jesus and the kingdom of God can come and truly bring you all the comfort you need at every moment of your life. And he can come and do all of these things that he promises. But we're not going to be comforted by anything else by becoming the good soil. And so we want to do this. We want to begin to press forward and become the good soil. Fourth and next, we want to abide in God's word. We want to abide, actually, in God's word. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, since you've been born again, not of a perishable seed, in other words, not something that's going to go away, but of an imperishable seed, something that will truly last through the living and abiding word of God. So we want to abide in God's word. That's how we're going to move forward. And then fifth and last, confess. Now here's a phrase I want you to have. Confess, my kingdom done, your kingdom come. When we agree with God and confess, Jesus, your kingdom come into my life, what we are actually saying at the same time is my kingdom is done. My domain, my rulership, my rights, I lay them all down before God. My kingdom done. I'm done with myself. I now want all of God. I want all of God so that he can actually have all of me. And so we cross the line. And we cross the line now, friend, by admitting that we need God and that there's some sinfulness that often blocks us. And we walk the line by believing and trusting in God. And we become the good soil by allowing Jesus Christ to change us from the inside out. And we invite Jesus to be our Lord, our God, and our truth. And so right now I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray a blessing over your life. And I'm going to ask those of you right here, right now, as you're in your jammies, or you're listening to this, wherever you're at, to stop and ask Jesus Christ to be the center of your life. These next moments are sacred. They'll be transformational to you, and they will do all that God wants to do. So let's pray. Pray with me right now. Pray with me right now. Lord Jesus, I pray, God, that you would bless everyone who's heard the preaching of your word. I pray goodness from Jesus Christ would come to them. I pray the power of the Holy Spirit right now would supernaturally light every single person up who's hearing this, and that you would baptize them with the power of the Holy Spirit. Even right now, Lord God, you'd light them up. And God, I pray for those that need to cross that line and walk that line. Maybe this is all new to them. I pray that you would now make them the good soil. You would make them that good soil, and that they would have hope in their heart, and their love in their heart. And I pray this now in Jesus' name. Can you say it with me out loud? Can you say it with me? Amen. I love you guys very much. I want to ask you to do me one last favor. Click on that like button if this is ministering to you. Also, share it with your friends. Subscribe to that channel. It helps us out a lot. And I love you, and I miss you all very much, and I look forward to seeing you very soon. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Ranch Church Podcast. For more information and service times, go to ranchchurch.com.